Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner. Carrie believes if you want to experience clarity in business and in life, then discovering who you are, why you're here, and where you're going is a must. The Igniting Souls podcast is dedicated to help you do just this. And now, here's Carrie.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner, and I have with me two amazing brand new authors. We have Chris White. How are you doing today, Chris?
Good.
Awesome. And Benj Miller. And I'll tell you what, man, these guys have such good experience. I was looking at your bios. Oh my gosh. One of you has, is it nine companies?
Yeah.
Is that Benj?
Yeah, we might need to update it. Got a new one in January.
Got a new one. Wow. So you're into double digits. But listen, we're going to talk about a very important topic today. I think it's a topic that most people avoid. It's one of my favorite words, clarity. And why don't you hold your book up right in front of your face so we can see that copy? It's the Clarity Field Guide. Guys, tell us the why behind this book. And let me tell you what. We have a bunch of people jumping in already. We have comments that are fired up. We have got people here from Montreal. We got Nikki Klagel. She's here as well. So we're going to give away some prizes to the most engaged member. That means the person who's sharing this, tagging friends, saying, listen, you got to jump in and watch these guys talk about clarity. But give us the why.
Sure. Well, Benj and I are both EOS implementers and you know, huge enthusiasts of Gino Wickman and the book Traction, Get a Grip on Your Business.
Yes.
And one of the tools that Gino created was the Clarity Break. And it's the idea of going off, being quiet with your own thoughts and journaling on whatever comes to your mind, right? And so after teaching that tool, it was hard to get people to not only start, but to keep the practice going. So Benj and I just had this idea like, hey, if we hung a little meat on the bone and kind of help them get started and give them a guide to follow, then it would improve their clarity breaks. You know, one, they'd start doing it because we've made it easy for them, lower the barrier. But then that discipline becomes, you know, muscle memory. And that's what we found. And the feedback that we're getting is it's working. So we're glad to hear that.
I love that. What is a clarity break, Benj? Give us some more on that. So we know it's important. And what kind of breakthroughs happen in a clarity break?
Well, I don't have to tell you. You know, you call it out in Unhackable and the ways that we get hacked. But we are hunters and gatherers in an information age. And so we are constantly craving input into our brains. That's why we scroll. That's why we look at the news. We have music and TV on in the background. But I think we all agree that our best ideas happen in the shower, on a run, falling asleep at night, when all the other distractions fade away. So it's literally the practice of taking the time to process your own thoughts and dream your own dreams. I love our tagline that we have on this book. It's the answers that no one else can give you. We're craving input, looking for some answer where we don't even know what the question is. Let's take the time to figure out what the question is and answer it ourselves and not let the world and society tell us what we need to do and how we need to be doing it.
Listen, you got some fans out here saying they're digging you in the book. Christy Clayton, do you know her?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So she's on YouTube checking it out. And I'm going to ask our buddies, Michelle, and we're going to ask Tanisha and others to tag Jill Scott. We're friends with her, Gino Wickman, EOS Worldwide. Tell people, first of all, who aren't familiar with EOS. I mean, you guys are all in. You got the Tractionville podcast. You know, people would almost say you don't have time for clarity to write a book. And yet you drink your own medicine. I mean, you literally said we need a clarity break. Give us kind of the backstory about EOS, yourself, Tractionville Podcast, and why you need clarity breaks.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got introduced to EOS about 13 years ago. I was I had sold a company, and I was asked by a business owner to join their board of directors and their senior leadership team. And they were going to implement this new operating system. And I was like, oh, what's it called?
Yeah. And,
like, it's called EOS Traction. I go, oh, I've never heard of it. And so the owner sent me a book, and I got Gino's book, Traction. And I'd never heard of Gino or the book or EOS. And to be honest, I read it in 2 hours, guys. I couldn't put it down. I was like, oh, where was this when I needed it in my own companies? I mean, I did well, but I could have done much better. So what EOS does is it really helps business owners get what they want from their business by creating a culture of discipline and accountability and scalability, right? That's sort of the recipe for scaling. But he's done it in such a way that it simplified everything. Focus on 6 key components of your business using a set of simple holistic tools that have been around forever, and strengthen that model to 80%+. And now all of a sudden you're chugging along, things are going really well. And it was having been on a leadership team implementing this program, it changed my life forever.
That's awesome.
I made a major pivot at 40. I was thinking of building another company, but I got invited to Detroit to meet Gino. And the rest is history. I've been teaching this ever since. And wow, it's been the most gratifying thing I've ever done in my life.
That's so good. Hey, and Benj, we know that you have a bunch of young kids. I mean, how important is it for dads and moms to be able to carve out clarity breaks? And why is the Clarity Field Guide going to help them in this endeavor?
Yeah. Well, I desperately believe that you bring your whole self into your business. And if things aren't, you know, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? So taking time, you know, we at the beginning of the year, we take time and calendar out. Mm. When are our date nights? When are our quarterly getaways? When's our big, we do an annual trip together. And yeah, we have 4 young kids. So it is very difficult, but we prioritize that. And it's time when you can ask these big questions. And I've always been a big fan of questions. That's why I was excited to put this out there, Carrie. I didn't feel like I have enough original ideas to book. I'm not that interesting of a person that people want to read. But I have been a curator of good questions for a long time. And that's what this second half of this book is all about is, you know, instead of staring at a blank piece of paper saying, what should I think about? What should I write about? We're going to take you through a little bit of an assessment to figure out what season you're in and then make sure you're asking questions that are appropriate to that season. So you ask about young kids. My wife and I don't believe we're raising young kids. We believe we're raising capable, independent adults.
Wow.
And so if we're raising adults, what do they need to know now at age 6 and 8 and 10 and 12 that are going to launch them independently into the world when they turn 18?
I love it. I love it. The book is fantastic. Talk to us, Chris, about the seasons. Cause when you told me about that, I thought, oh man, you are onto something. Why is there seasons in an entrepreneur's life?
Well, so Benj and I, we both come from the Midwest in and around farming communities. My parents were dairy farmers. They started out as dairy farmers. And through just a conversation back and forth, we realized that, hey, entrepreneurs go through seasons too. And I got to give a shout out to Benj's coach, executive coach, John Ritchie, who really gave us the inspiration behind this. And so we just pulled it together and we're like, okay, you know, as human beings or farmers, you know, we go through the 4 seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall, right? Well, what's it like for the entrepreneur and the entrepreneurial journey? And we landed on you know, there's a planning season, right? That's where we're excited. We have a lot of ideas and we're getting a lot of input and we're just gathering all this information to create this wonderful plan. Then once we move out of the planning season, we move into the execution, right? Where we bring the vision out of the ground and we go make it happen. Everybody has clarity around their roles and responsibilities and what, how their activities impact the vision, right? So that's the execution season. For owners and leaders, they make this transition after executing into what we call the doldrums. Ooh. And that sounds kind of ominous, right? But whether the entrepreneur was successful or a failure in their execution, they're ready to, they kind of feel this sense of, oh, maybe it wasn't exactly what I thought it was going to be. I wasn't excited about it. And they just start to get a little paralyzed and they realize, oh, I mean, you know, they're in the doldrums. And the questions that we have in that section of the book are phenomenal to help you really understand what that means. But after the doldrums, you know, you move into wintertime and that's where, you know, you're huddled, you know, again, Benj and I are from the Midwest. So, you know, we're huddled around the fireplace, oh, right? Yeah. And we've got our cocoa and our sweaters on and we're cocooning in winter. And this is after you've gone through the doldrums, you're sitting there, maybe you're looking out on your fields covered with snow. And then all of a sudden you start to get a little inspiration, right? And you come out of the doldrums and you start, you know, you're thankful, you're grateful for the season past. And that really leads right back into the planning season.
Wow. Wow. So I love what you're saying. So you would say that entrepreneurs who don't have seasons, but say they're always planting or they're always in the doldrums. I mean, there's major drawbacks from not integrating seasons into your business life. Would you agree?
Kerry, I think about it like you think about somebody who does like Taekwondo. And if that punch is coming at you, you can either use all of your force to fight that punch, or you can use the energy coming at you to your own advantage. And so when we are entrepreneurs and we are in the doldrums, but life's telling us we're supposed to be planning or executing, we are fighting the natural forces of life, of nature, of energy. If we can take the time to acknowledge that you're in the doldrums, then you can flip that thing, throw it down, use its force against you, and you're actually moving with nature, using nature, understanding. Here's one of the biggest things for me. When I'm in the doldrums, yeah, I used to think there's something wrong with me. I'm broken. I need to fix it. I need to figure out what it is, you know, on and on and on. You know, self-deprecation, all these things. Now the freedom to go, oh, I'm in the doldrums. It just is what it is. It's actually healthy. There's a cocooning stage coming on the other side of this to where I'm going to get my energy back. And I can just almost rest into the doldrums. And the irony is it actually passes faster because I'm not fighting against it.
That is so good. That I love that. In fact, folks, the subtitle is amazing. The answers no one else can give you. How much, Chris and Benj, are we a society that's addicted to hearing what everyone else thinks about the questions, and we avoid sitting down and getting clarity ourselves, and we waste so much time and energy? What do you think?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, Benj and I were kidding. We both have bought like these journals and they're in our office and they're completely empty. Some of them we didn't even start. Right. Yeah. And maybe because it was too complicated, or maybe I really didn't want to be alone with my thoughts.
Ooh, that's good. That's right? Good.
And so, you know, as entrepreneurs, we're always pushing. And the thing is, that can be, you get the blinders on, your head down, you're plowing. And the problem with that is you're taking care of everybody else but yourself. And what would your company be if you got sick or whatever? You've got to take care of yourself. You got to protect your confidence. And you can only do that when you just shut all those distractions down, whether it's a half hour a day, an hour a week, you can pick the cadence. But the idea is went to Benja's point, when you're alone with your thoughts and you read some of these questions in the seasons, it just lowers that barrier. You don't have to be afraid of, because, you know, Stephen Pressfield, Benja and I are huge fans of him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he
more of people, art,
right? The hero's journey, the artist journey. You know, he did write the screenplay for The Legend of Bagger Vance.
Yeah,
people know that. But an interesting thing about Steve Pressfield is he calls this thing resistance with a capital R. And Benj and I were talking to him, and what he meant by that was, even as, you know, he's an author, a screenwriter, and he's been doing it for
decades,
40 plus years.
Yeah.
But he says every day in his normal morning routine, he ends up at his computer at around 10 a.m. And when he turns his computer on, what is he looking at? He's looking at a blank screen. And that's intimidating, right? That's why Benj and I didn't use these other journals. It just was intimidating.
In fact, look at the comment. Todd says there is little scarier than a blank journal. He said that 30 seconds before you did. Look at that.
There you go. So Todd just nailed it. And I think people feel that way. And so I think the lowering that barrier,
yeah,
so that people can not be afraid to be alone with their thoughts or whatever, but just helping them understand, hey, here's the season you're in. Lean into it, embrace it, and pick a couple questions. Now, some of the questions that Benj and I put in there, you know, some are softballs.
Yeah.
Some of them might really scare you, right?
Yes. But yes. Well,
we need to be pushed, right?
We need to be pushed.
We sent a manuscript to one of our buddies, Tom Bauer, who's an implementer. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this story, but he texted us the next day and said, I shared one question with my girlfriend. It turned into a 6-hour conversation, the best, deepest conversation we've had in a long time.
Oh my God.
I really believe that a good question can change our trajectory.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, gee, I'm a person of faith, and Jesus asked so many questions. You know, it's like there's the Socratic method. I mean, there's something powerful that we've, it's like we all want the answers, but we don't ask the questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you listen, we're all dying to know. Jude's asking Jude's asking some questions. Hey, I'm a bald guy with a girl's name, so it's all good, right? It's all good. But ask a few questions for us, because I know you said some are softball, so you know, doesn't scare everybody, but then some are really deep. Can you give us a few that maybe
sure. The questions came from around the globe, to be honest with you. So I just randomly picked a page in the book, and in the book, we've got the question at the top.
Yep.
And down below, we have like a little quote. So I happened to open up to page 74, if anybody has the book out there. And on the bottom of the book, there's a quote from Sheryl Sandberg. We all know she's the CEO of Facebook, right? And she says, motivation comes from working on things we care about. It also comes from working with people we care about. Mm-hmm. So the question on this page is, do I have the right people in the right seats?
Ooh, that's good.
Carrie, I'll share with you a story.
That's good, yes.
This was a very, very pivotal moment in both my personal life and my career life. It was in the early 2010.
Yes.
In 2009, we had what felt like great, phenomenal success. Mm-hmm. So here I am. My late 20s, I think I'd have to do the math, maybe early 30s. So I thought, you know, I was, young, entrepreneurial, leader, successful, creative, all these labels I had allowed myself to believe and stick to myself. Well, 2010, we made a series of business decisions, and me being the leader, I absolutely about destroyed that business. We were, the plane was crashing. We were in the trees about to hit the dirt. I felt like all those labels got pulled off me. Well, now I had no identity. And same person that Chris mentioned earlier, John Ritchie, is sitting with me in a morning kind of coaching coffee session. And he just looks at me and says, Benj, at the end of the day, everybody has to be able to answer three questions. Who am I? Why do I matter? And who is my audience?
Wow.
And those three questions changed my life forever. And so I have been, since those questions, I've been kind of a collector and curator of questions. So when Chris and I talked about this book, what would it actually be? How could we actually help people? And Chris had a list of questions and I had a list of questions. It was like, we're sitting on it. Like, let's just share it. It was a gift we had to share.
That's so cool. Well, I have said for years to my clients that clarity attracts and confusion repels. So a lot of times we say, hey, I wish I could get clients, or I wish I could, have the right people work for me. Clarity attracts. Like, you want to follow someone who has clarity. So I think the ROI, the return on investment from this book, not only are you going to get personal clarity, professional clarity, but you're also going to start attracting high-level leaders who say, I want to work with someone who's clear. Have you seen that? Have you seen people checking out this book and getting clarity? And then I know it's only been out for like a month, but as you've been working with your clients, why do you think clarity attracts?
Well, it's not even all the way to clarity. There's a step before that that's very attractive. And I have seen this happen since the book's been out, is somebody gets hit in the face with this question. They don't even know the answer, but they've got good people that they can take back. And in the book, we have a fifth season that we call collective clarity, because a lot of us get alone with our thoughts. But when we're in business and we have a team of people that we trust, then we can take those questions and say, hey, what do we think about this? What do you think about this? I'm wrestling with this myself. It goes back to the conversation that Tom Bauer had with his girlfriend. It's like, what does this question mean to you? I'm wrestling with this. And so getting collective clarity, we were made for community. So how do those people around us impact us? And sometimes the vulnerability of bringing that question is more powerful than the answer I got that I'm now going to share with the world, right?
So it's collective clarity. This isn't just a leader going off by themselves, getting answers, but as they get clarity, the whole gets clarity. Is that Chris? Is that what you think?
They could be, some of the questions, they might need their team members to answer, right? To help them get clear. Right. So that's why it's the collective clarity. It's really the fifth season, where the leader who can go back into their team, and just like Ben said, say, hey guys, this little book asked me a question and I'm stumped and I need some help, or this question scared the living heck out of me.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Right. And then it just brings in all the senior leaders together to collaborate on that. And then everybody experiences clarity. Just yesterday, I got a phone call from a visionary, and he said, Chris, I'm struggling, man. I don't have my next vision. And so we talked about the Clarity Field Guide, and I gave him a couple of examples, and he said, Chris, I'm good. You gave me everything I needed. We're good now. And I'm like, what did I give you? And he's like, I just ordered the book. I don't know what season I'm in, so I'm going to go figure it out. I'm going to go do it, and then I'll call you back.
Oh, that's great.
That's great.
That is good. And when you say seasons, so you're telling me, like, the book's broken down into what the first few are summer or spring, or to, you know, tell us about the whole table of contents.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You know, we set this up with our whole, we kind of share our methodology for how to think about these seasons, what to do with them. We spend a chapter talking about each one, what we should do and not do. Back to that kind of, you know, Taekwondo, use the force, don't fight it, mentalities in each season, what that looks like. And then we've got a really short assessment, which you can do online if you want on the Clarity Field Guide website that you had up a minute ago. You can take, it's a 30-second, you know, couple question assessment, figure out where you're at. And then from there, you jump to the section in the book that fits that season. Not all questions should be asked in all seasons. So we want to get into the season that those questions are actually beneficial.
That's so good. I love it. So this literally is a free assessment. They can go through it, and by choosing the different questions, they will be able to find out what season they're in. Is this what I'm hearing?
100%.
Wow, that's so good. We have a gentleman named Muhammad who just jumped on, and Muhammad, we're talking about clarity. And I like the fact that you said on page 74, it asked the question at the bottom, it said about the right people. But then the question was, are you working with the right people in the right seat?
Exactly.
Now explain that to someone, because not everyone is EOS savvy. And I think that's okay, because they're going to learn a whole new language here.
Yeah. But
what does it mean to have the right people in the right seat?
Yeah. So when you take any role or seat in an organization, operations as an example, right? One of the most clever and impactful tools that Gino made was the accountability chart. Now, the accountability chart structurally looks like an org chart, right? A hierarchical structure of a company.
Okay.
But here's where it's clever. And his purpose was to provide more clarity. So the accountability chart, you have the structure, but inside the boxes, all the functions, you don't just have a fancy title, you know, CFO, CMO, CEO, CTO. You actually have a function, finance, right? And then within that, you have 3 to 4 roles and responsibilities that make up 80% of what that seat focuses on. That's clarity. You have KPIs for this seat. So now you understand what numbers you got to drive and that you're accountable for. And so that, I mean, when I first got introduced to that, when I was sitting on the team, it was just made perfect sense to me. Made the perfect sense, because now everybody generally understands what they all do just by reading 3 or 4 bullets in an accountability chart. And now everybody has a fundamental understanding or clarity on what each function does.
It's changed our business. We're not here by accident. And our business was at a point where we needed more clarity. I think you talk about in the EOS, what do you say? You say you hit the ceiling of complexity. Can you explain that for people? What is the ceiling of complexity?
Go ahead, Bench.
Well, you know, if I start a business and it's me, myself, and I, and I'm doing everything in the business, it's not too complex. But the minute I hire Chris to come work with me, we've got 3 ways that our communication can break down. I can poorly communicate it. He can poorly receive it. Or somewhere in the middle, it gets messed up. So we've now gone from 2 people to 3 points of failure. So imagine you put 6 people with and multiply the complexity and the breakdowns that can happen. So as we grow a business, the complexity grows, chaos grows with it. And as leaders, we've got to force the simplicity back into the system. We were talking about ambiguity earlier. My coach said it's a leader's job to eat ambiguity and shit clarity. Like, you just process it, right? As the complexity grows, we're going to hit a ceiling, either individually as an individual, our team that we're on, or the whole organization can bump up against a ceiling. And as a leader in EOS, we have 5 leadership abilities that we can always find 95%, 99% of our breakthroughs lie in one of these abilities to simplify, to predict, to structure, to systematize, or to delegate. There's a breakthrough for us in one of those five categories. So even the clarity of knowing those five things exist.
Yes.
It's so helpful because every time, you know, it's just like thinking about the seasons. Where am I? Okay, I'm hitting a ceiling. What do I go to? I go to these five leadership abilities and figure out where my breakthrough is.
Yep.
This is amazing. I mean, people are lighting this up. They're saying, I'm taking the assessment. Christy says she's speaking code, but I think that means right people, right seats. Yeah. It is the game changer in business. It's almost like, guys, I feel like to reach the next level, you have to step into confusion, right? Like, in other words, if people are watching this right now and they say, my life's perfect, I got everything under control, everything's cool. Like, we would almost say that they're playing too small. And, but, right? I mean, would you say that? What do you think?
Well, two things come to mind. I just I lead a little cohort today, and I was telling them, don't procrastinate in a season of preparation.
Ooh, hold on, Tanisha. Can you write that down? Tanisha and Michelle. So say that again.
Yeah, you know, don't procrastinate in a season of preparation. There are good seasons where everything feels great. But that's when we go to the gym, we put on a little more muscle, a little more cardio, because that next season's coming and it's going to require something of us in that season that we didn't need in that last season. So while we think everything's good, that's the great time to go prepare for whatever's ahead. Because we have a phrase that we use in EOS all the time. I know it's one of Chris's favorites. It's enter the danger. Because we think everything's fine. Sometimes we don't want to push the buttons and, you know, spill the apple cart and let the worms out of the can and all that stuff. But, you know, we've got to enter the danger because that's where the next breakthrough is going to come.
Wow. This is fantastic. You have people on YouTube. You have people on Facebook. I mean, people are digging this thing. And let's go to the Amazon page right now, because right now, folks, we're talking $14.99. I mean, that's amazing. $14.99 in stock. Get it. Boom. I'll tell you what, guys, I'm grabbing it right now myself. I'm the publisher. All right. I'll enter my password here in a moment, but tell us about that. I mean, for $15 and some time alone, you can change the world. Is that, am I being over the top?
No, you're right. You could change yourself. You could change your company. You could help change the people in your company. I mean, the impact, you know, the ripple effect, right? You drop a pebble in the water and you get this ripple effect. You know, as you guys were talking, I thought one of my favorite quotes is, if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough.
Yes.
Right? Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
And in the Clarity Field Guide, there's an opportunity to dream.
Yeah.
Right? It's the planning season, right? Where you just kind of open your mind up to the universe and let the thoughts come in. They're not right or wrong. They just come pass through. And all we did was make it simple for you to capture it right then and there in the season with that question that captured you.
This is so good. So, folks, I just got this book. I'm super excited. And I'm the publisher. And I'll tell you why, guys. I feel like so many times we get distracted. And we're watching someone else's story. I mean, think about it. For the last, I don't care if people were, you know, Trump or Biden. I mean, there's people that wasted 6 months of their life or more, maybe 4 years, but just watching headlines.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll tell you what, when I watch headlines, I walk away more confused. I mean, last time I checked, you know, when you're watching headlines, you don't walk away and say, oh, I'm laser clear now. You walk away and you feel like just pollution. It's almost information pollution. How important do you think in our world of the future is the Clarity Field Guide? In other words, the CEO of the future, the entrepreneur of the future, the rock star of the future, how important is clarity?
So I want to give you my answer. And then Chris, I want you to read your favorite quote from the book, because I think it answers it really well. Carrie, you were talking about, you know, 1499. I was on a call on Saturday and I was with five guys. They were obviously leaders. I was immediately impressed with them. Yeah. At the end of the call, I hadn't met these guys. I'm like, hey guys, I'd like to send you all a book. And they're like, you don't want us to buy it? And this was so instinctual. I was like, I don't care if you buy it or if I give it to you. I need you to have it. I need you to use it. I want the world to engage with this book, because I truly do feel like it can change lives.
Let's talk about that. So you honestly believe, I mean, this is a mission. This isn't just, hey, we want to sell
books. If I could. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Chris, what are you hoping and praying is going to happen? You know, and just so you can see it here, man, you know, I just, there's my Amazon link. Okay. So I just got it, man. But I can't wait. February 2nd, man.
I'm feeling kind of bad that you had to buy your book.
Hey, I'm happy to support. In fact, folks, let's see how many of you, I'll say this. If you get the book, folks, if you get the book and go through it and it doesn't change your life, you send it to me and I'll refund you. I mean, that's how strong I feel about Clarity Field Guide. So Chris, what is your big mission for this book?
You know, for Benj and I, as EOS implementers, you know, we work with owners and senior leaders, mm-hmm. of all different kinds of companies, sizes. The beauty of EOS is it's really business agnostic, right? Profit, nonprofit, government contracting, widget makers, retail, franchise, not, right? And we are working daily with executives and leaders of organizations. And I just, Benj referenced my favorite thing, so I'm going to read from the front of the book.
Let's do it.
And this is from James Mattis. He's four-star general, Marine Corps, a former Secretary of Defense. And this is what he has to say. If I was to sum up the single biggest mistake of senior leadership in the information age, it's a lack of reflection. Solitude allows you to reflect while others are reacting.
That's good.
We need solitude to refocus on prospective decision making rather than just reacting to problems as they arise.
Wow.
That's right, front of the book.
I love it.
I love it.
Well, and here's what I see, guys. I see that thought comes in, and here's what most people do. Grab their phone. I'm going to put on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. I'm going to put my half-baked thought, whether that's, I can't believe this food service, or, you know, what's wrong with people today, or blah, blah, blah. Like, it just goes straight onto the megaphone and doesn't even pass through the brain, right? I mean, come on now. What you're saying is different. You're saying put the smartphone down, because that thing wants to use you and get in front of the book, the Clarity Field Guide. Get your pen, get your thoughts. And here's what I do every day. This is the truth. Every day, except when I forget, but most days, I get up, scripture, journal, And I just process. And what happens is, a lot of times the day before, I'm like, oh crap, I had a bad attitude with that interaction. Or, you know what, I really reacted the wrong way. Or, you know what, maybe I'm not going big enough. But a lot of people don't know how to do that with a blank journal, right? I mean, I've been doing this like for 40 years almost. But you're saying that the field guide draws out the questions.
Then tell people to you go to that section. When you figure out your season, you go to that section we want you to find a question that's either super attractive to you or it's scaring you to death. You do not want to answer that question. And that's when you'll know that's the question for you in that moment.
The scary question.
Yeah, and so
the one that's attractive.
Or attractive.
You know, but don't spend your energy on a question that's not either scary or exciting.
Yes.
So I randomly pick pages, right?
Okay.
And so I did it again. I'm listening to Benj. I'm like, yeah, let's see if I can find one. And page 32.
Okay.
Cher Wang, she's the founder of HTC and VIA Technologies.
Okay.
And she says, it takes humility to realize we don't know everything.
Whoa.
Not to rest on our laurels. And to know that we must keep learning and observing. If we don't, we can be sure some startup will be there to take our place. What's the question on that page? What do I fear being asked?
What do I fear being asked? Wow, that could create a whole product line.
Right?
I mean, that could be a six-figure, seven-figure business line where you feel it, but you've been putting it away. And the Netflix and the Xbox, man, it quiets the ache. But all of a sudden, the Clarity Field Guide draws it up.
Yeah, I mean, that question can be pretty scary, right? What do I fear being asked? But I like where your brain went, right? Because when I think of that and I'm like, okay, what do I fear being asked? I might have, like, to your point, well, I'm afraid, you know, that my head of sales and marketing is going to ask me this.
Yes.
Because I've got this crazy idea, but I don't think they're going to like hearing it or want to go for it or whatever, right? So it doesn't, although on the surface it might be a little intimidating, but if you just take a moment to let that question sink in, again, be open to all different angles of thought here.
Yeah.
And then to your point, it starts here. It travels down your arm, through your elbow, through your wrist, to your hand, to a pen or pencil, and it becomes reality once you write it.
That is so good.
Now it's archived. You can always go back to it and reflect again.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give away. I'm going to ask boldly because you might change somebody's life. Everybody who's watching, I'm going to say that everybody who tags someone in the next 5 minutes is entered into the prize. We are going to ship two things to you. We're going to ship an Igniting Souls H2O official water bottle. It's aluminum. I mean, it's the real deal. And we're going to get them a show up, filled up t-shirt. So we're going to mail them those two things. But you're entered to win if you tag someone who needs clarity. And listen, folks, this is going to take some courage. Because most friends don't go to friends and say, hey, you need clarity. But you know what? We do. I had a guy named Chet Scott tell me, when he kind of saw me in life being a pastor, but really trying to be an entrepreneur, you know? And he said, why are you scared to be an entrepreneur? Oh my gosh. Wrestling with that question. And by the way, it's working. Jennifer's being tagged. Jim's being tagged. Another Jim. Jim's are being tagged here. Betty's being tagged. Rod's being tagged. And I'll tell you what, as you're tagging people, we see that you love them. In other words, all of us are like, hey, to our enemies, yeah, you go sit in your confusion. but to our friends and our family, someone just said, can I tag myself? So go ahead, keep tagging people, folks, and you'll be entered to win. But guys, I got three kids. I got a wife. Could I even ask questions to them? Like, what if I asked my 15-year-old, what are you scared being asked?
Yeah, we just did this around the table a couple nights ago. I threw one out there. I said, what do you want? What is an attribute that you want to be true of yourself as an adult?
Ooh, so you asked a young kid, what do you want to be true about you when you become an adult?
Yeah. Yeah. And it took a minute, you know, young kid, to get past, like, you know, I want to be a professional NBA player. And I'm like, no, like about you, like your attributes, your character. And then that turned into a great conversation.
You know, so page 94.
I like this. This is fun, man. This would be a good way to start parties or Zoom.
I'm listening to Benj and I picked a page and it's perfect. It's crazy. Honest to God, my book is not marked up, everybody. I'm just listening and grabbing a page. So page 94, Antonio Porcia, poet, says, "One lives in the hope of becoming a memory."
One lives in the hope of becoming a memory. In other words, I want to leave such a life of impact that people remember me.
Yeah. The question is, what would my coworkers say, or who would my coworkers say I am? What would my children say I am? My spouse, my family, my investors.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's, you know, I mean, I know that gets a little deep on some
stuff.
That's
I like deep.
We want to push people to go.
Carrie, we have this language in EOS. We call it a visionary and an integrator.
Yes.
And people tend to think of them on polar ends of a spectrum. I don't like that. I'll tell you why in a second. I think it's more like a yin and yang that fit together really, really beautifully. But I think if you were to put visionary on a spectrum, the other end of the spectrum is victim.
Ooh, that's good. Because
visionary has the ability to go into the future, see a preferred future, bring that back, and create the plan and execute against that. If we don't take the time out to get with ourselves to figure out what our preferred future is, then we're all just victims. We're victims of society, what they think, our boss, our spouse. You know, if I go back to those big three questions of who am I, why do I matter, and who's my audience, one of the ways that I've helped people organize that question is, who gets to sign your report card?
So you're trying to
decide if you're doing a good job, a bad job. Am I on pace? Who gets to decide who signs your report card? And then the second question, what's the criteria to which you're being graded on your report card? You know, if we don't know some of these fundamental questions, then the wind can just take us wherever. It's the opposite of being visionary. So this isn't like you need to be a visionary, like go start a company.
Right.
But we need to be visionaries of our own life. One of my favorite quotes, it's attributed to a lot of people. I'm going to give it to Winston Churchill. He said, "History will be kind to me because I intend to write it."
Wow, man, that is good. That is so good. The guys, this was unbelievable. I love the subtitle because you're right. Nobody can give you that answer about your report card except for you. It's so good. Here's the benefits. Clarify your vision of business success. And I would say, just from listening, also it helps with personal success, family success. Map out practical solutions to overcome your challenges. Avoid costly missteps that derail your plans and processes. Break out of negative thinking patterns to move forward. And protect confidence. Oh, that's so good. In yourself and your business. In fact, tell me that. How does answering these questions and getting clarity protect my confidence?
Chris, you cool if I tell my story?
Of course, it's perfect.
All right, so here's my story that relates to that. Let's say my mission is to cut a road through the jungle.
Okay.
And we are the hardest freaking workers you've ever seen. We can take down the trees, till the dirt, lay pavement. We can work hard.
Yep.
Well, if nobody takes the time every once in a while to climb up in a tree and make sure we're going the right direction, then we could be wandering paths. We could be making circles. So if I take the time out.
That's good.
Go up in the tree, look around, see the future, I can come back down to my team and lead with confidence that all this hard work is going the right way.
Wow. So unless we remove ourselves from the system, you know, I've heard it said, what, you can't read what's on the label when you're in the bottle or something like that.
Yeah, right? That's it.
Right? I mean, you can't objectively stand back and read and see if you're on track unless you have that clarity break. That's so good.
Yeah, we need leaders. We need leaders to climb that tree to get above the jungle canopy so they can have a 360 view, right? And that's what you're doing when you're using the Clarity Field Guide.
That's so good. I'll tell you what, as a personal confession, for the first time in a long time, I'm talking many, many, many years, our business is crushing it. And the reason why is because EOS, I became visionary instead of visionary and integrator. I have bandwidth to actually take clarity breaks. I mean, that's what it's all about. Like the last few months, I've been having ideas that are like amazing, but I was so eyes forward and it got a hustle and I got a grind that these ideas were probably always there, but I didn't catch them.
We didn't catch them. And if we're in the grind, we're scared of them because we have no margin to execute. So a good idea becomes a problem.
Ooh, that's good.
We don't have any margin. If we can elevate above the canopy, like Chris said, and we see if we're a little off course, we see another opportunity, we say, hey, we could actually build two roads here if we did it this way. You know, if we're not the ones that have to go execute, and you've got to have a healthy team, you've got to have a system, you've got to have capacity and resources to pull it off.
Yes.
Every time a leader is asked to dream about something that all the weight of it falls back on them, they're limited by their own abilities.
Ideas, what do you say, terrify us, they scare us. If we are hustling,
yeah,
we know we can't execute them.
Yeah, we have no margin.
That's good.
You know, one key element around all of this,
yeah,
is we got to give ourselves permission to slow.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, an entrepreneur, we're grinding it out, man. We're grinding it out. And you know what happens when you grind it out? You grind yourself out.
Yes.
You know, and it could get, you know, it could get bad, right? So, but it really does start with, one, you got to understand that there's value in you taking the time to slow down, let your ideas and thoughts catch up to you.
Yes.
Move them around in your head, run them through the seasons, answer the questions. But you just got to start, give yourself permission. It's okay to tell your team or whoever, hey, for the next hour, I'm not available. And I always tell people, you know, whether it's 30 minutes, an hour, whether it's every day or once a week or once a month, whatever the cadence is, just give yourself permission to start.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And let me add to that, because I think it's just like, you know, we haven't worked out in forever. We go to the gym and we come back and look in the mirror. Like, do I look any different? Did that work? Do I have abs? And the reality is, like, it takes muscle memory. It actually takes time for our souls to catch up. Our souls were never meant to run at the pace that we run in modern society. So as we start this practice, you know, don't be like, all right, I've got 5 minutes for my clarity break. And expect something good to happen. Like, it takes persistence over time. It's why you come back energized from a great vacation when you left your phone at home. Like, you actually can catch up and get re-energized again. Here's the one other thing that I'd be remiss if we didn't say before we ended this is, don't let the lack of clarity keep you from action.
Hmm.
Action can help you refine your clarity. But too many of your people are paralyzed because they don't feel like they have clarity. You've got to start moving. You've got to start going and trust that the clarity will come. But we, you know, Gino has a quote, and I'm going to mess it up, but he said, more is lost by indecision than wrong decision.
That's good. I like that. You've dropped some good value bombs today. Jeff Moore says a good idea can be a problem if we don't have the margin. I mean, literally the whole chat is blowing up with all kinds of people, questions, comments. This is fantastic. You guys, the website is claritiefieldguide.com. You both have a web podcast, tractionville.com. Where else can people find out about you and EOS and what you do with companies and all that? Tractionville, is that a good place?
Yeah, that's a great place. Chris and I both have our personal practices, but you can find it from tractionville.com or claritiefieldguide.com.
I love it. I love it. Well, guys, this was a true gift for everybody. If you like this in the comments, if you found value, go ahead and say thanks, Benj, and thanks, Chris. And guys, thanks for writing it. Thanks for trusting us to be your publisher, because we love to put out good books that ignite souls. And this is at the top of the charts, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. We'll see you later. Make sure you grab your copy. I got mine, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks so much for listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Show up, filled up, and become a member of the tribe. Visit us on the web at carrieoberbrenner.com. Remember, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.